Welcome to the Real Docs Podcast. Hosted by Dr. Britt Lesher and Dr. Lisa John. Tune in every Wednesdays for new episodes. This podcast does not act as medical advice and should not be used as a substitute for medical care. Please contact your healthcare professional for questions regarding your health.
Welcome back to Season 2, Episode 2 of the Real Docs Podcast. We are your co-host, Dr. Lisa Jung.
And I'm Dr. Britt Lesher.
As a part of our summer edition, today we are going to talk to you about the sun, how to protect your skin from the sun rays, sunscreens, because it's super important to protect your skin, especially when the UV rays are pretty darn strong.
I feel like I didn't learn how to Actually, I didn't even put on sunscreen when I was growing up in Hawaii, which is terrible. So I'm making up for it. And now I like lather it all over my body.
Yeah, I would say even for me growing up in Southern California, it was very, well, I had a Korean mom, so she was very gung-ho about us putting sunscreen on and everything. But I was just like, we don't need it. And now I'm like, oh gosh, I cannot go a day without my sunscreen.
Why don't we just kind of dive into like, well, everyone knows why sunscreen is important for you. So you protect against not only sunburns, but also skin cancer, right? And skin, precancerous skin lesions and things like that. I think an important one for a lot of people to know about is like how to adequately and properly apply sunscreen. And so we were kind of taught in school to direct patients to use actually a lot more than normally people would use. I think it was like a teaspoon for your face, a teaspoon's pretty large too. Like you have to pack it on there. Yeah. Like you have to use, I think total, it's supposed to be like 9 teaspoons to like cover your whole body. It's like 1 teaspoon for your face. And then, you know, a teaspoon for arms, a teaspoon for legs, or one arm. But you're supposed to really lather it on and you're supposed to reapply every like hour and a half to 2 hours, which is nuts. People are not doing that. I know I was definitely not doing that whenever I would sit out in the sun. So it's very important to not only apply it correctly when you first apply it, but also to reapply too. If you go in the water, if you, you know, are sitting out for more than an hour and a half, good to reapply.
Not just for us, but just into general public, right? That's really been drilled in, is use of sunscreen for protection against skin cancer. And I feel like most people kind of think of skin cancer as like, oh, whatever, it's just like on my skin. Or, you know, I feel like a lot of people downplay the severity of skin cancer, but man, like melanoma is scary. You know, even Khloe, this is one celebrity thing I know is that Khloe Kardashian had melanoma, had to get, you know, a surgery to get it removed. And if it's to a degree where it's earlier in the stage, yeah, just doing biopsy and removal just locally will do the trick, and just monitoring, right? But if it goes anything beyond that, it can spread. It can go to different parts of your organ. I know this is a little extreme, but what's her name? Izzy Stevens from Grey's Anatomy.
Oh,
she had
the
stage 4 melanoma that spread to her brain and other organs and things like that.
That's crazy.
You know, I think that's a little too extreme, but it can happen. It can go into other parts of your body. And when it spreads and metastasize, that is a lot trickier and a lot more complex in terms of treatment and all of that. So I hate fear mongering, but really important for skin cancer protection. And even the non-melanoma things that are still cancerous, like basal cell carcinoma, squamous cell carcinoma, things like that. If you have any of those conditions and it's not really managed or treated, it can turn into melanoma or anything kind of similar to melanoma where it can spread.
Yeah, I think of those people or our patients that are like fair skin, they're prone to sunburns, they have family history of skin cancer, or like even just like they create a lot of moles and like brown spots and things like that. So I think that's something to be mindful of. Like, I believe most people, if like you're prone to sunburns and things like that, they know to apply, but maybe they're not using the adequate amount, or they're just like not being as diligent as they should be. On top of even just like applying sunscreen, there's lots of other things that you can do to protect your skin from the sun, right? You have also your eyes, which we have here. You have to make sure that they're polarized and that they actually do, you know, reflect UV rays, so that those rays are not getting into your eyes. Because for a long time, I was the person that used like the non-polarized, just like any old sunglasses, right? And then I actually went to the eye doctor, and I was told that I have a little bit of like sun damage, because I played tennis for many years, and we don't use sunglasses when we play tennis outside. Right. And we're in the sun for hours, like training, but also like matches and things like that. So I have, it's called a pinguecula, but it's sometimes like a little bit of like sun damage to your eyes. So once I was told that, and you can't reverse it. So it's like, once the damage is done to your eyes, it's very hard to come back from it. So sun protection with your eyes, just as important as skin protection with like sunscreen and things like that.
Using hats.
Yep.
There's, you know, this is very typical in Asian population, including my mom. You know, the arm sleeves that you can wear, right, especially when you're driving, gloves, you know, the Darth Vader visors are a big fan favorite.
Oh, I love those.
I actually, you know, back in my younger days, I was just very like, oh, like, why would anyone wear that? And now I'm like, I need one. Yeah. But those are something that we can do. You know, people also opt for long sleeves, even on hot days, as long as it's like a breathable material for, you know, getting the sweat out and you're not just like bathing in your own sweat.
For people who like, if you're just one of those people where you tend to produce like moles, or you have like abnormal like skin lesions that you're concerned about, I always ask people with like, you know, with their annual checks, like, do you go and do a skin check, especially if you're prone to moles and things like that? Sometimes they can become like what we call dysplastic or like abnormal and be precancerous. So it's always good to like screen, you know, go do a full skin check if you're just prone to forming those things. If you have a concerning spot that like hasn't been healing and has all of the kind of skin cancer warning signs, which we learned as like the A, B, C, D, E of like skin cancer melanoma. So maybe we can insert that here, but definitely go and see a provider and get those things checked sooner rather than later, because like Dr. Lisa was saying, that stuff spreads.
So when it comes to sunscreen, there's the physical sunscreen, or typically called mineral sunscreen or chemical sunscreen, and they basically are kind of in the name. Mineral sunscreen uses minerals, typically titanium oxide, zinc oxide, as forming a barrier on your skin to basically protect your skin from the UV rays. Versus chemical, they use things like avobenzone, oxybenzone, octocrylene, things like that, that basically absorbs the UV rays rather than, you know, blocking it or creating that barrier, right? So there's kind of like the different categories. I would say the quote unquote, the unhealthy sunscreen, usually it's kind of in the realm with the chemical, just because, at least from my knowledge, it's more of like the hormone disruptors. And we do not like that, because that messes up with their hormones, messes up with their cortisol, like all that kind of sort of stuff. I feel like even like in the derm world, they kind of start going into more of the mineral and the things. And I would say there's like a pros and cons to it, to each of them. Probably the most preferred is the non-chemical route, just because that absorption of chemicals into your body is going to be more damaging on other end of things, right?
Yeah.
But it's also the stance of like, well, maybe if chemical sunscreen is the only thing that really, you know, your skin does well with, or that's available to you, or more affordable, then that makes more sense rather than putting someone at a risk of developing skin cancer or being at risk of it. So to each their own.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of like a hierarchy. Like, we absolutely don't want you not applying anything, right? So if the only thing you have in your house, or the only thing you have on hand, is those chemical sunscreens, like if you're just using them, you know, like a handful of times throughout the year, then I feel like there may not be that big of an impact on like your health and things like that. So it would be like no sunscreen bottom at the bottom of the tier. Don't do that, you know? And then there's the chemical sunscreens, and then there's the mineral sunscreens, which are probably more expensive, but some people have reactions to the mineral sunscreens because they don't do well with the titanium dioxide or the zinc oxide. So I feel like the just kind of figuring out what works best for you. I know a lot of people make their own. I was seeing a bunch of like people who are, they have those like little UV spots. They put zinc dioxide.
Oh, okay.
They put our zinc oxide. They put zinc oxide in their little formula with like raspberry oil, coconut oil, shea butter, and like make their own. But I actually saw this one girl who made her own and did like a test with those UV stickers. Mm. And she like put the different types of like sunscreens on her leg and like saw if it changes color, it means that it's not protecting, right? And the homemade sunscreen mixture that she had made following someone's like online like recommendation or whatever, wasn't doing a good job at blocking it, but the mineral sunscreen was. And so the idea behind that is that when you make it at home, it's not like completely homogenized and like completely mixed. So when you apply it to your skin, you may not be getting like as good of like a protective layer as you think you are. So, I mean, it really just depends on what you're wanting to do. But sometimes making it at home, you would think like, oh, doing it yourself at home, it's got to be like natural and like the best thing, but you may not be getting the best like UV protection that way. So I think that's something where you definitely want you applying something, but trying to opt for one of those like cleaner brands or like a mineral brand.
I didn't know people made their own. I mean, mm-hmm. that kind of makes sense.
You know, people like to just do it yourself. Yeah, they just like to make all things from scratch.
It's fine. Like, we love a good DIY, but maybe, well, I didn't know it had that result, but I didn't even know that people made their own.
Yeah, and like I saw another, because you know I'm like always on TikTok and like seeing all of these trends going on, and a lot of people, there was another lady that like had made her own do-it-yourself sunscreen, and she was like, you know, had her husband test it out and like made like a grid and things like that. So I feel like there are different formulas. It's just really hard when you're making stuff at home to make sure that you're doing it the proper way, like a lot of these like sunscreen topical things are made in like big, you know, industrial like
facilities
that have the capacity to do that.
Yeah. And even the machines to incorporate it all too, right? And,
yeah,
you know, and that goes for both chemical and mineral sunscreen. So yeah, don't DIY your own sunscreen. Just get one, you know. I will say nowadays, because sunscreen, it's always been big, but I feel like especially now with TikTok, especially with a lot of the skinfluencers, that's also why, you know, sunscreen has been more
pushed,
big, yeah, right? And because of that, there's now a lot of brands that are coming out with, you know, good formulas and good price points and all that kind of sort of stuff. So I kind of want to talk about pros and cons, because even though I know chemical ones are not good for you versus like a mineral one, there's pros and cons to it. And I also, my bias as being Korean, I am a big fan of Korean sunscreens, and I try to look for things that aren't as severe in terms of the chemical formula, but sometimes you can't escape it. And at least for my justification is that I'm doing things to support my liver detoxification, to support my hormones. This is like probably my little kryptonite of the things.
Because are they like chemicals? Most of the Korean skincare,
a lot of them are chemical. Oh, yeah. I see. And they do have some mineral ones as well, but even things like food or non-Korean sunscreen stuff, we also have to worry about like ingredients, right? Other chemicals that are in there, other fillers, derivatives that are still hormone disruptors. So if you're going to do the chemical sunscreen, you know, by all means, just make sure you're doing something to really support your detox pathway, which we'll talk more about down the line of one of the episodes that are upcoming. And yeah, supporting your liver, all that kind of sort of stuff. So I'm a little big fan of the Korean sunscreens. I'm not going to lie, I don't like American Sounds great.
Yeah, there's so many. Like, there's, I was just looking at the, because I mean, everybody knows I like the environmental working group site. So I was just looking at the environmental working group site because I was like, okay, you know, summer is here. Like, I was previously using a sunscreen that was not a mineral based sunscreen. So then I was like looking at the different ones that they make, and like a lot of newer brands are coming out, even like Elta MD, which is like, I'm not plugging any specific brand or anything like that. But like a lot of these more like clinical skin brands are coming out with like, always has some sort of baseline SPF in it. And so if it has SPF in it, means it has some of these compounds in it that block the UV rays, right? So I think like definitely do your own research. Like we have our preferences as well. And like I know even there was a big there was a lot of info around like people using like the sprays because there was that recall with the you know, like the aerosolized ones. They have like
we don't like aerosol.
Yeah, like they have a lot of them got recalled because they had like benzene in them, which is like a carcinogenic compound, right? So that's where a lot of these, like why the environmental working group was like kind of like pushing it, because I guess there was like a big FDA like analysis of like all of these things that were in sunscreen and then like what they deemed as like safe for regular use and all of that. But I feel like that just like scares people off to like using sunscreen in general, because they're like, okay, this is bad for me or whatever. So I think that's why it's like, okay, rather than not using any sunscreen, because anything is better than using no sunscreen, right? Any protection is better than none. You know, there are definitely like different types that you can look into and see what's best for you, because yeah, there's definitely people who have like preferences and things like that. Yeah.
Some pros and cons to both mineral and the chemical sunscreen. So pros of mineral sunscreen or physical sunscreen is that it's typically less irritating, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's the mineral and most of us do really well with the mineral end of things. And it's better for your environment, just like Dr. Britt said. The con to the physical sunscreen is that it can rub off easily, so you have to apply it a lot more frequently than the chemical ones. And then this is kind of like a personal preference of mine, and I think for a lot of people too, is that mineral sunscreens tend to have more of the white cast, mm-hmm. especially for people who have more pigment in their skin. So kind of look a little pale and ghostly. Yeah. We do not like that. And no matter how much you're rubbing it in, it's not actually getting rubbed in. Yeah. Now, if you're someone who wears makeup, then sure, like it can cover some degree. But for some folks who aren't putting makeup on, or they don't want to put makeup on or anything like that, you kind of look a little ghostly. Pros and cons to chemical sunscreen. Pro is that it's more formulated to be a little bit on the lighter end of things, so consistency wise, so a lot more favorable, right? Mm-hmm. Rather than you're just sitting there rubbing things in like 5 minutes straight, you just kind of put it on for a couple seconds and then let it absorb and go do your thing. Mm-hmm. It's also more water and sweat resistant, so especially if you're swimming, you know, going out about, you know, going for a run, having an outdoor day, things like that, a lot more favorable. Con, we've already talked about it, hormone disruptor. And then it can be more irritating or causing skin reactions to people as well. So, you know, to each their own in terms of what your preference is. You know, if you do go end up going with the chemical end of things, just make sure you're supporting your detox pathways. Yeah.
So the reason why like I went into the environmental working group is because the reason why they're doing a lot of push for like people using different sunscreens is because some of the compounds that are found in like the chemical sunscreens are like, they damage the coral reefs, right? So like even in Hawaii, they have actually passed legislature now where it's like, you can't wear chemical sunscreens because it's like damaged the reef so much. So just be mindful, because like there are areas where it's like there are coral reefs and there's coral bleaching that's happening all of the time because of these compounds. So if you're wanting to learn more information about that, you can probably look on their environmental working group. I believe they have other sites websites too, where they talk about that, like certain areas that are like protective, and they recommend like reef or coral safe sunscreens and what those recommended brands are. So you can look into that if that's something, like if you're going on a trip to Hawaii soon, which we are. So
protect your environment. They're exactly important. But yeah, I remember even when we went to Hawaii a year ago, mm-hmm. that was like something that we were seeing a lot. And I love that. I love that. We got to protect our environment.
Yes.
Now with SPF, you know, there's a whole degree of the number of SPF, right? That is available on the market. We recommend anything between 30 to 50. There's really no evidence of SPF that is over the number of 50 when it comes to protection for skin cancer, things like that. I think FDA? Someone is trying to ban products that are over 50.
Oh, in terms of interesting.
SPF. You don't need to go SPF 70. There's really no benefits to it. You're probably just paying extra money for something that's not really doing anything extra for you. Do you have any products that you love that's like your go-to sunscreen?
Well, this is something that I just switched out to, because previously I was using like the traditional like Sunbum or Bare Republic, but these brands have shifted a lot. So I just recently started using the Super Goop Mineral blend, because they have it in a stick, which I love. So I have like the lotion and then I have the stick. This is definitely more expensive because, like I said, I'm compensating for years of not applying any sunscreen. So now I'm like, I want the best one, and I want like a really good one that I can just like carry on me. So I love the Super Goop Mineral stick, because it's like you just pop it in your bag and you can take it wherever. It's like I always use like a baseline moisturizer with SPF in it, but in those times where you're like wanting to reapply it, or like, you know, just want to slide it on, like that can be very helpful for like your skin and like smaller areas. Even Superbum, they do have a Sunbum.
See, it was my Superbum.
Sun. Did I say Superbum before? No, Sunbum. Okay. Sunbum, Superbum, Super Goop, and Sunbum. The one with the monkey on it. Yeah. They do make a mineral one, but
that has a white cast.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And honestly, like Brian most of the time uses that one. I use my Super Goop one because I feel like it doesn't do as much damage as like in terms of like the cast and stuff like that. It doesn't leave as much, like looks good under makeup and all of that. So it's actually what I used when I was recently in a wedding and we were standing outside and like the sun was like hitting us in the face, and I was like, oh my god, thank god I applied my like SPF before this, because it was like, and I actually don't look like, when I looked at the pictures I was like, oh wow, I don't look like I have a cast on. So I was like, okay. So, and I know the Super Goop one is like the one that they sell in like Sephora and like makeup beauty brands, because it's supposed to be like better for like under makeup and all of that. Which one do you use?
I love Sunsticks. It's also very big in Korean skincare.
Mm-hmm.
I used to use the Round Lab Birch Juice Stick. I think I gave you one too at one point.
Yep.
I like that one, but I hate reapplying, especially with the stick, especially when I have makeup on. I know a lot of them are like supposed to not move your makeup, but I don't know what it is about. I think it's like a personal preference too, of like layering something on when I know I have something that's more comedogenic like makeup, that I'm just like, oh, like I don't like that. And
yeah,
in those kind of cases, I would, not that I did, but I would prefer more of the like spray or anything like that. But because they're all recalled, that's out the door. I actually just started using the Round Lab Birch Juice.
Round Lab is a Korean. It's a Korean one. Okay, I was going to say.
Holy moly. I can see why everybody loves this one. Very watery, hydrating, doesn't feel like anything, no white cast. I've also tried the Innisfree Daily UV Defense, which you can get for, I think, $15 at Sephora. That one had a little tiny white cast, but relatively good in terms of just like a daily use. I use that all the time, funny enough, in Seattle. And everybody always gave me crap for wearing sunscreen, even on like rainy days in Seattle and things like that. But screw you guys. Look how youthful I look compared to y'all. Even with Seattle, sometimes we would have sunny days, rare, but sunny days, where the sun rays are pretty darn strong. I would say sometimes stronger than the things I felt back in SoCal. So guess who was protected? Me. So
you were always on your skincare.
Yeah. Back in 20s, I would always say like I would prefer makeup over skincare. And now I'm like, I would rather prefer skincare over makeup. And yeah. Sunscreen is like ride or die.
Yeah.
I will die on this hill forever. I have also started using physical sunscreen as well. I think it is also a little bit of the guilt that I have of maybe I want to move a little bit away or maybe reduce the frequency that I'm using my chemical sunscreen. So there's one. It's the Mad Hippie Sheer Tint Sun Serum. Now, it's got a little tint, and aka pigment in it. So good for just kind of like a no makeup sort of a day.
Like a BB cream kind of thing.
Like a little BB cream. And does really good job. Pretty fluid. So I would say that's a good one for a lot of people. I would say the only question I have is I don't think it's really all spectrum friendly for like pigments. So the darker pigment tone or skin tone that people have, I don't know how broad it is for that. But that's a good one. I think they have a non-tint one as well. The only question I have for that one is, does it leave a white cast on or not? So I haven't tried this one personally, but I think one of the popular ones that are out there for the mineral one is like the Hero brand, which I think you can find at Target. Their Force Shield or something like that. It's like the white bottle with like a green edge.
Oh, I think I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently it's a popular one that a lot of people like. So maybe I'll try that next.
We can dabble. We can do a little tester. A
little sunscreen test.
One big thing that I was seeing that people have a lot of questions around, because obviously we absorb a lot. We're doing a whole episode on vitamin D coming up this season. But a lot of people have questions around like, if I apply sunscreen, does it block vitamin D production? And I did a deep dive on this, and it's the answer is no. So the idea is that you could be blocking some vitamin D production, because that's how we make vitamin D, is by the UV rays hitting your skin. But they've done a bunch of research. It doesn't block enough of the UV rays so that there's absolutely no vitamin D production. I mean, we'll go into like more in depth about vitamin D and how we can get it, you know, exogenously, but how also we can get it naturally. For any of those who have questions around like, okay, is me applying sunscreen going to block my vitamin D production, or from me getting vitamin D from the sun? The answer right now is no.
Woot, woot. Yeah. I actually did not know that, but I always had questions about that too, at least from when we were in school. And yeah. I think it was biochemistry or physiology, one of those, where they talked about that, right? In terms of the vitamin D production in our body is from the UV ray, and that goes down the whole cascade of things. But that's actually really good to know, because yay, people can still wear sunscreen and not be worried about vitamin D. I would say, I mean, we talked about this, vitamin D is probably one of the notorious vitamins for our body to actually retain and maintain. So, you know, we'll do a full deep dive. But also another kind of point to say, okay, it doesn't block enough UV rays. That also kind of comes with that risk of, again, skin cancer, things like that. So making sure that you reapply or use sunscreen if you don't.
I feel like it wasn't talked about enough. And even when I was like growing up in Hawaii, always around the sun, like it was never really passed on to me. And even when I was like in high school playing tennis outside, like we would apply sunscreen, but no one ever told us like reapply or like what are you using? No one ever checked on those things. And it's so important, because like sun damage, it's very hard to come back from. So
that should be part of the health class that people take in high school.
Amen.
Especially in these areas. So that was our conversation on sun protection, skin protection, sunscreen, and a lot more. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Make sure that you are following us on all of our social media platform, our TikTok, our Instagram, making sure you're also subscribed to our YouTube, so that if at any point, if you're an audio listener and you're like, I need a little oomph, I need a little extra something, you can go to our YouTube channel and watch the podcast as a video podcast. How cool is that? Because we actually put in little snippets. We actually make our little peculiar faces and reactions and all of that. So you'll get a little hoot out of that. Be real.
And stay well.
Bye. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Real Docs Podcast. Don't forget to like and share this episode and follow us on our social media pages. Tune in every Wednesday for more episodes.